Diese Folge Radio Fritze wurde im Rahmen eines Englischprojekts aufgenommen. Schüler, die sich für Aktivismus einsetzen.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Student Voices, the podcast where we talk about real issues students face every day. I'm really glad you're here. As a student myself, I know how overwhelming things can get sometimes. Whether it's keeping up with schoolwork, dealing with expectations, or just trying to balance everything life throws at us. That's exactly why this podcast exists. To create a space where we can talk about these challenges and remind each other that we're not alone. Today's topic is something almost every student can relate to. Grades, pressure, the stress to perform, the fear of falling behind, and the constant comparison. It all adds up. I am your host for today. My name's Lisa, and I'm going to share some honest insights and personal experiences with you. Joining me first is our guest, Clarissa, who will help us unpack why so many young people struggle financially and what can be done about it. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. This is such an important topic, and I'm glad we're talking about it.
Well, let's start with the basics. When we say youth poverty, what does that actually mean?
Youth poverty goes beyond not having enough money. It includes limited access to opportunities like education, stable housing, healthcare, and even social support, for instance. Of course, alongside many other issues. It often starts in childhood and can shape a young person's entire future.
So it's not just about income, but rather about opportunity?
Exactly. For example, young people growing up in low-income households may attend underfunded schools or lack access to resources like tutoring, technology, or even a quiet place to study. These disadvantages can build up over time, not only in school, but also participating in an active social life.
That really highlights how early these issues begin. Well, let's see with education. Often seen as a way out of poverty. Is that still true?
In theory, yes. Education can be a powerful tool for social mobility, especially in Germany, where it's not only free, but also mandatory, which seems to make it accessible. But in reality, financial barriers can make it difficult. Parents who have a higher education can help their children, while children of low-income households have to work while studying because their parents only graduated for 10th grade or are chronically ill, which can put a huge strain on young people.
And I imagine that affects their performance too?
Absolutely. Balancing work and studies can lead to burnout. Some students end up dropping out, not because they lack talent or ambition, but because they can't afford to continue. That financial burden can delay major life decisions, like moving out, buying a home, or starting a family. It can also push them into jobs that prioritize income over passion or a long-term growth.
All right, but let's talk about the mental health side of things. How does financial stress affect young people emotionally?
It can have a huge impact. Constant financial pressure can lead to anxiety, depression, and feelings of hopelessness. It can also affect self-esteem. Young people may feel like they're falling behind compared to their peers, not being able to afford things your classmates can. In school, technology or extracurricular activities can make young people feel left out.
Right, that's definitely something we don't talk about enough. So, what solutions are out there?
There is not a single solution, but several steps that can help. Governments can invest in affordable education and housing, improve wages and free extracurricular activities, or the culture pass we had in Germany before, where everyone born between 2004 and 2006 got about 200 euros for a year to spend on activities they couldn't afford otherwise. And strengthen social safety nets. Schools can also teach financial literacy. Skills like budgeting and saving are essential, which need to be taught.
Right, that's definitely an important point. It's not just a personal issue, it's rather a societal one.
Exactly. If we want to reduce inequality, we need to create systems that can support young people, not hold them back.
Well said. As we wrap up, what's one key message you'd like listeners to take away?
Youth poverty is not inevitable. It often starts at a very young age. You don't choose which family you're born into. It's something we can address. With the right policies, support systems, and awareness, we can create more equal opportunities for the next generation.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Next up, we have Lara, who's going to share some insights considering grades and pressure on the youth and the students. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm really glad to be here because this topic is also very important.
Definitely. Well, let's start simple. When we say grades and pressure, what do we actually mean?
Grades are meant to show how well students understand a subject, but they often become a source of stress. The pressure comes from different sides: teachers, parents, classmates, and also from ourselves. Many students feel like their future depends on their grades, which can be overwhelming.
That sounds intense. Where do you think this pressure mainly comes from?
It's a mix of things. Parents often have high expectations, and schools focus a lot on exams and performances. Social media also adds pressure because the students compare themselves to others. And then there are self-pressures, wanting to prove you're good enough.
So it's not just one thing, it's rather a whole system. How does this pressure affect students in their daily lives?
It can affect students a lot. Many feel anxious before tests, lose sleep, or feel exhausted. Instead of enjoying learning, they start to fear failure. Some don't participate in class anymore because they're afraid of making mistakes, and it can even harm their mental health.
I'd almost say that's tragic. Do you think grades themselves are the problem, or is it more about how we deal with them?
I don't think grades are completely bad. They can give feedback and structure. The problem is how important they become. When grades are everything, students focus on memorizing instead of really understanding.
That's true. I think a lot of students just memorize things and forget them right after the test. So what could schools do differently?
Schools could focus more on progress instead of just results. Teachers could give more detailed feedback and not just grades. Mm. Also, using presentation, projects, or group work would help students to show different strengths.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like a more balanced approach. But what about students themselves? Is there anything they can do to handle pressure better?
Yes, definitely. Managing time and setting realistic goals helps a lot. It's also important to talk about stress with others, and students should remember that their value is not defined by their grades.
I like that. Your value is not your grades. That's something many people need to hear. Do you think teachers are aware of this problem?
Some, but not all. Teachers also have pressure and must follow systems, but awareness is growing, and even small conversations with students can make a difference.
Yeah, communication seems really important. What role do parents play in all of this?
Parents have a big influence. If they focus on only grades, children will feel more pressure. But if they support, effort, and not just results, it can reduce stress a lot.
So it's really about changing the mindset, not just at school, but at home too.
Exactly. Learning should be a seen progress. Mistakes are part of it, not something to be afraid of.
That's a powerful message. But before we wrap up, what would you say is the most important change that should happen?
We need to stop thinking that grades define our success. Education should help students to grow, find their strengths, and build confidence, not just collect numbers.
That's a great way to end this discussion. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts today. It was really insightful.
Thank you for having me. I hope this helps people.
Now we're tackling a controversial question. Should teenagers face stricter social media age restrictions, and should smartphones be banned in schools? I'm joined by Anjali. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me. This is definitely a topic where opinions can get pretty intense.
Let's start with social media. Many platforms officially require users to be at least 13, but in reality, much younger kids are active online. Do you think stricter enforcement is necessary?
To a certain extent, yes. Social media can have a huge impact on young users, especially when it comes to mental health. Constant exposure to idolized lifestyles can lead to unrealistic expectations and low self-esteem.
That's a really important point. The pressure to present a perfect life online can be overwhelming, particularly for younger teenagers who are still developing their identity.
Exactly. And we also can't ignore the issue of cyberbullying. Online harassment can be more intense than face-to-face conflicts because it's constant and often anonymous.
Right. It does not stop after school. It follows you home, and that can be extremely damaging.
Another key concern is data privacy. Many young users are not fully aware of how their personal data is collected and used by large tech companies.
So stricter age limits could act as a form of protection?
In theory, yes. However, in practice, enforcement is the biggest challenge. Age restrictions are easy to bypass, which makes them somewhat ineffective.
That's true. And there's also the argument that social media has clear benefits.
Absolutely. It can encourage creativity, provide access to information, and help young people build communities, especially those who feel isolated in real life.
So would you say the issue isn't social media itself, but rather how it's used?
Exactly. Instead of focusing only on restrictions, we should prioritize digital education and media competence. Young people need to learn how to critically engage with online content.
Right, that's important. Let's move on to our second topic. Smart food ban. Smartphone bans. Some argue that removing phones entirely would improve concentration. Do you agree?
Yes, to a limited extent. Smartphones are one of the biggest sources of distraction in the classroom. Notifications alone can significantly reduce students' attention.
I've read that even having your phone on the desk can lower your ability to focus.
Exactly. It creates a constant temptation. In that sense, banning phones could lead to a more productive learning environment.
And there's also the issue of academic honesty.
Right. Smartphones make it easier to cheat during exams or access unauthorized information.
So the argument in favor are quite strong. But what about the downsides?
Well, a complete ban might be too restrictive. Smartphones can also serve as valuable educational tools. Students can use them for research, language learning apps, or collaborative work.
Yeah, that's true. Schools are becoming more digital, not less.
Exactly. Banning phones entirely could actually slow down the integration of modern technology into education.
And what about the safety concerns?
That's another important factor. In emergency situations, having access to a phone can be crucial. It provides a sense of security for both students and parents.
So instead of a total ban, what would you suggest be a better solution?
A balanced approach. For example, restricting phone use during lessons but allowing it during breaks. Clear rules and consistent enforcement are key.
So to wrap things up, stricter social media age limits could help protect younger users, but they are difficult to enforce and may overlook the benefits of online platforms.
And while phone bans in schools could reduce distractions and improve focus, they might also limit useful learning opportunities and raise safety concerns.
Yeah, it seems like both issues come down to finding the right balance between protection and personal freedom.
Absolutely. In the end, education and responsible use might be more effective than strict prohibition.
All right. Next up, we have Kilian on this podcast. Welcome, Kilian.
Hello.
So you think that schools start way too early and you suggest that they should start at around 9 a.m. Why do you think so?
Yes, I think school should start at 9 a.m. because the current start times are way too early for most students. Teenagers naturally go to sleep later at night and it's really hard for them to wake up early in the morning. That means many students come to school already tired.
Some people say students just need to go to bed earlier. What do you think about that?
I don't think it's that simple. Even if students try to sleep earlier, their bodies often don't adapt. So they just lie in bed and still don't get enough sleep. It's not really about choices, about how the body works.
And how does that affect students in school?
When students are tired, they can't focus well. They forget things more easily and don't understand lessons as well. Many students are just trying to stay awake, especially in the first classes. So even though they are in school, they're not really learning properly.
And you think starting later would help with that?
Yes, definitely. If school starts at 9 a.m., students can get more sleep. That means they come to school more awake and ready to learn. They can listen better, think more clearly, and do better in tests.
Now, some people think that a later start would make the students lazy.
I don't actually agree with that. It's not about being lazy. Students would still have the same lessons and the same amount of work. The only difference is that they would be more awake and able to do their best.
Are there any other reasons why a later start is better?
Yes, not all students have the same situation at home. Some have long travel times to school, some have jobs, and others help their families. Early start times make things harder for them. Starting at 9 a.m. would make things a bit fairer for everyone.
And does this aspect also affect the mental health?
Yes, it does. When students don't get enough sleep, they feel more stressed and tired all the time. This can make them feel unhappy or overwhelmed. More sleep can really help them feel better and stay healthier.
Now, what would you say to the people who think changing the schedule is too difficult?
It might be difficult at first, but it's worth it, I think. If you want students to learn well and feel good, we should create a system that helps them, not one that makes things harder.
Yeah, that would be more considerate to the students. Is there anything else you want to add?
I think school should start at 9 a.m. because that's a simple change that can make a big difference. Students would be more awake, learn better, and feel healthier. If we care about education, we should care about this too.
That's all for today. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Student Voices. Youth issues are an important matter, especially for us students, regarding our personal situation as well. But enough of that. Also, a big thank you to my guest today. You delivered great arguments for this episode. Peace out.